Feral Audio.
Oh my God, it's time for another Drew Drogie's Minor Revelations. Hi! Happy week, everybody. Sorry I didn't have an episode last week. I promise I'm trying to get better about having more episodes. I'm a mess. This is going up, a couple days after the Oscars. So by this point, we've already heard it. We've rehashed it. But I have to talk about it because it's the Oscars and oh my God, that moment. Sunday night. Oh my God. What? I was watching that with a couple friends and we were like, we heard La La Land won. We're like, of course. Ugh, who cares? Whatever. And that snafu happened and we were just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And it was just, it was hope. It was beauty. It was glory. It was everything dangerous. I loved how uncomfortable everybody was. I loved the faces of everyone in the crowd. There was something about it. The whole spirit of the Oscars, I thought the Oscars was great this year. I really did. I thought the whole vibe was very positive. It was very pro-community. It was like, I know it was so manipulative to bring those people from the bus to come in. But my God, it was just saying, look, we're all people. Let's bring in Gary from Chicago to talk to Ryan Gosling and Denzel Washington and whatever, and all just be people together in a moment. And I thought it was really celebrating diversity. I didn't think it got mean. I thought Jimmy Kimmel was great. Overall, I just thought it was a wonderful night. And so what a perfect ending. And I thought La La Land was so incredibly gracious. And oh my God, how horrible for them to have to get up there and then have to be like, no, you didn't win. And I know there's been a lot of complaining about Moonlight not getting their moment. And I agree. My God, they deserve a moment. But on the other hand, much bigger deal to me, much bigger picture, a gay, black, low budget film, won Best Picture. That's literally going to save lives. I mean, that is the end of the story. It is opening wide in theaters. It's a story that's going to be shared with millions more people because of it winning. And I know that if it weren't a masterpiece, I wouldn't feel so strongly, but on top of what it's going to do, it's a perfect movie. It's the first black film to win Best Picture. I don't call it a black film. That sounds so tacky. First film about the African American experience that's not about racism. That's not about, it's literally just a simple story of life, of one person's life lived through three different really traumatic and, amalgamating stages of his life. And it was just, it's beautiful. La La Land, here's the thing. I really didn't enjoy La La Land. I hated it more after everyone's love for it came out because I went into it expecting to be just completely taken away. I wanted to just escape into this like gorgeous world of beautiful people. And I love Los Angeles and I wanted to celebrate movies and all of it. And I just was just not very, whelmed. I just wasn't whelmed, The opening is an eBay commercial 10 years ago. 10 years ago, there was literally an eBay commercial that is that opening of that movie. This character has like been doing it for 6 years and she's just going to give up because it's been 6 years. And I'm like, I'm sorry. If you were a real dreamer, your dream wouldn't go away after 6 years. If you're a rational person and you say, look, 6 years, that's too long. I get it. I respect that. I think that's great. But you don't give up on your dream after 6 years if it's really your dream. I'm sorry. The one person show she was in. Why did that solo show have to be so terrible at a rotting theater with like All in the Family furniture? She had no idea that nobody was going to come. All the logic of him not being able to like text her or call her, that none of it made any sense. I was just kind of a mess and I didn't hate it. In fact, there are a lot more Best Picture winners that I hate way more than La La Land. And, I'd like to rattle those off. But yeah, basically And I will. I'm going to rattle off the winners of the best picture that I think are just complete garbage. La La Land is fine. It's entertaining. It's fine. But if Singing in the Rain, Moulin Rouge, and Hedwig are not going to get an Oscar for best picture, then it doesn't deserve to get an Oscar for best picture. Especially not in a year when Moonlight and Manchester by the Sea and Hell or High Water and Arrival and a lot of just other things were just better, in my opinion. Best pictures that are worse, though, far worse, I'm going to start with You Can't Take It With You. Oh, the most boring movie ever. It's a delightful, stupid play. It was in it in college. Every character is insane. It's sort of like Little Miss Sunshine or one of those like just screwball movies where every character is a mess. The most boring movie you'll ever just sit through. And it won a best picture. Gigi, I fucking hate Gigi. I mean, that is a feather and fondant wrapped argument for child abuse. It's awful and intolerable. I'm just going to say it. I don't love The Deer Hunter. I think it's so dull. That hour-long wedding before it, I don't care. You can respect The Deer Hunter, but look at every other film that was nominated that year. Offhand, like Coming Home was nominated that year. Like incredible movies were nominated against it. And I think everything it was nominated against were better than The Deer Hunter. Chariots of Fire, no. Over Reds, over Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is a better film and it has survived way longer and it's definitely a classic. Raiders of the Lost Ark is a classic film. Chariots of Fire. There was that whole period where things were just the most boring film won, the epic film. And that was like, Chariots of Fire, Gandhi, Out of Africa, The Last Emperor. Ugh, The English Patient, even Shakespeare in Love, like, okay, fine, but who cares? A Beautiful Mind, which also was the worst of the five that it was nominated against that year. Million Dollar Baby, like, I just found just unwatchable and offensive and just against, like, anyone who, lived in a small town and just impossible to watch, a boring movie. The King's Speech, awful, boring. And of course, nothing worse than second place Crash, first place Forrest Gump. I promise one day I'm going to do an entire takedown on just Forrest Gump and why I hate it and why it is the worst movie to win Best Picture and the worst big budget movie ever. That just requires me sitting down and watching Forrest Gump, which I promise to do at some point. So congrats to all the winners. And let's have a show where I talk to other people. How about that? Oh my God, I'm sitting here with two of my favorite people, Dave Holmes and Karen Kilgariff. Hi.
I could say the same thing.
I mean, I'm so
what
glad you guys
room
are here.
This is.
Not me, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
You know a lot of people.
Karen, we brought you on here today to talk about just your general distaste for people.
For the two of you.
Well, and mainly the two of us.
Oh, okay.
About how
good,
you
good.
Really don't care for the two of us.
It's
and we love
to,
you.
Thank you. And that feels good to me because that puts me up on a pedestal.
Ew, uh-huh.
Right?
And don't you love when there's like somebody you just really don't like and you kind of go, I don't like that person. And they go, but they love you. Like that would change anything.
Makes me
I
hate
always
him more.
Think like that would make you that would make me such a narcissist to go, oh, they like
they
me, then never mind.
Forget yeah. it.
Because it's like, it's not a two-way street like that. It doesn't mean that, and I can just, it doesn't mean I wish them horrible things, but I can right. just be like, they're not my people. And they can, but they love you, Drew. And you're
you
gonna be
get
like,
to not like people.
Yeah.
You get
thank
to.
Thank you. And I also think, that's so, always so weird when people use that as an argument, as if I would change my opinion about them based on them liking me.
Yeah.
Like, ew.
I evaluate strangers that way, though. Like online.
Uh-huh.
If somebody tweets something negative at me and they have like 60 followers, I'm like, well, fuck them. Who cares?
Right.
Nobody's.
Right.
Somebody with 50 followers says, oh, I like that article you wrote. That's an up-and-comer.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just
right.
getting started.
Yep, that's right.
Yep,
you know?
Exactly.
They're smart people.
Absolutely.
Maybe a little
they get it. They just joined Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
Or they're being very selective
sure.
and who they let follow them. I don't know. It could be
right. Jake Gyllenhaal under an assumed name.
You never
yes.
know.
It could be a secret account.
You never know.
That's my passion idea, is finding out who are secretly celebrities on Twitter.
That would be
the coolest app if
is
somebody could
Is that a thing?
That.
Like the celebrities have, like they go undercover with different names?
I wonder. I feel like one or two have in the past, so it suggests the idea that it's possible.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
I have a secret Facebook account.
Oh, you do?
Just for like people I know.
Okay.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
Karen and I both are like, news to us.
What a difficult way to hear about this.
I'm considering doing that too, or doing a separate Facebook account because it becomes a lot. Sometimes you just pop on there and then you have a lot of messages and a lot of stuff to do. And I'm like, I'm at work all of a sudden on Facebook and mm-hmm. it's a little too much.
This is the
Way
part where
much.
I get to say, I left Facebook in 2011.
I was going to ask. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen you on there.
Yeah.
And how did your life change?
I just became obsessed with Twitter.
Yeah, yes. I know you're all over Twitter.
I just transferred it over to Twitter.
Okay. Would you ever leave it?
Twitter?
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, it's been such a bummer.
Yeah.
But also it's like my main source of news and it feels like the main source of kind of truth these days, where you're actually getting like eyes on the ground in places as opposed to just headlines.
Right.
But it's really depressing that now it's 80% political freakouts.
Right.
And 20% like, I was at the mall and...
Yeah, just aggressively boring statements. But also like, I think people too, like they want to be heard. And so like sometimes it can be so harsh and so much... Just because people want to, and everybody thinks that you want their opinions about everything too. And that can sometimes be really like irritating on Twitter when you like put something out there and they go, but, and people reply with how they felt. And you're like, you could just not.
I retweeted a thing about that Tom Cotton, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that got insanely cheered at during that town hall meeting.
Yeah.
And it was about...
I don't know. What town hall?
It was one of the many town halls that went nuts where people
Oklahoma?
Were just like, I think so, or...
Or Kansas or something.
Yeah, somewhere in Midwest. And he basically was talking about taking away... repealing Obamacare, and this person stood up and was like, my husband's dying, then I won't have insurance. What kind of insurance do you have? And the room exploded in cheering. And I retweeted that, and a guy wrote back to me, how about you get a job where it provides your insurance, and then then we can hear your opinion. And
what
I just wrote,
what the fuck does that mean?
I wrote back, okay.
Right, exactly. like, right.
You would just assume you know who you're talking to right
exactly.
now.
I know. That you would assume that I don't have a job, or my job doesn't provide insurance, that my union doesn't give me I don't get insurance.
You're assuming that you can't have that stance without being in like the beggar's position, as opposed to being like, no, I think everybody should have the amazing healthcare I have.
I have great healthcare and I think everyone deserves to have it. Exactly.
Yeah. Also, and I just want to say this. When there's like the Women's March, when there are protests, one of the big things is, well, they just don't have jobs, so they can show up at a protest whenever they want. Nobody ever says that about the big Trump rallies. You know what I mean? He just had his big one.
Right.
And nobody's ever like, why don't those people get jobs?
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
There are a lot of people who are free in the daytime. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Oh,
we're here
and
in
now
the daytime.
We live in a world where people work all different hours and times, and most people work from home now. Not maybe most, but a large number of people plan their jobs accordingly. You know, they're not the 9-to-5 model
anymore.
They're
not 9-to-5.
And it's just one
also,
more
the Women's
thing
March was on a Saturday, wasn't it?
I know. Like, none of it makes
a lot of people were free.
Any sense whatsoever. And the amount of women that made huge sacrifices to go on that march to, you know, I mean, financially and to leave
fly their ass across
their
the country.
Families and leave their lives to go and do that is like, we look down on that and go, well, they don't have jobs.
Yes.
Like, and also like getting a job, like as if, I think also the world that we live in too, like we're usually without a job. Like we work from little job to little job, little job. So telling us to get a job is so like innocuous.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
And that movie Up in the Air, that George Clooney movie when everybody was like, oh, I was like, this is just not for me because I'm used to not ever having a job. Like I'm used to that. Like the idea that like you've had the same job all your life. And, you know, it's, and I think more and more people are getting that. I mean, it's just with jobs now, like,
everything's
the millennials,
freelance.
The children, yeah. They all are doing like smaller, you know, they're not making career, lifelong career choices, and that, you know, they're working from one job to the next. So
yeah.
It's such a weird thing to tell somebody, like, you know, and
it's like you have to go, I don't have the same dad as you, so this doesn't work.
Right, exactly.
Me.
Exactly.
This is not
and
my
I've
situation.
Also, I've also like exercised those demons with my dad, like, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Like,
right.
I've already figured that out. And, you know, it was never, I had a dad that wasn't given a choice as what he wanted to do with his life. And so he was miserable in his job. So the last thing I would want to do is to just get some sort of boring job. Like, I saw that from day one. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Yeah. And you're not a parasite. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we all produce things.
Right.
We make our own money.
Exactly.
We're doing okay.
And that's how that's the job that we have. Our job is being creative and making things and going in between stuff. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that guy was right. Guys, let's just
You know what? The
it.
More I talk, the less I feel confident about my opinions.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go.
You know,
we have jobs sometimes.
When I was home, over the holidays and, and my dad passed away, which I think I told you.
Yes, I know.
And I was there for a long time. And when I'm there, I usually I'll record my show for Sirius at a radio station downtown. Like, there's always a studio that I can just squat in for an hour and bring my microphone and just talk. Right. So I was there, and like their news guy in the morning was like, "You should meet our station director and whatever." And so I was like, "All right, fine." So I did. And like, we just kind of had a nice little meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, it sort of transpired after that I was like, oh, wait, he was trying to put together like a show for us. Like,
God.
He was thinking maybe I was moving back and we were going to do a thing.
Oh.
And then I was, which is nice,
we're
but
so
I
nice.
Immediately was like, this is such a CW show.
Yes.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right,
like,
right.
Like, I go
yeah.
back to my mountain town,
exactly.
Which I don't even live in a mountain town.
Right.
But like, you know, and then I have a little morning show and it's like, and the
local
colorful
news.
Local.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. And it's like, and people say hi to me and I'm like, what?
You know? I also love that, like, in a week's time that all happens for you. It's like, just like those shows. It's like, mm-hmm. on the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's always like death in the family. You have to go home and take care of the family business,
right.
Which means running the radio show. And by the end of the show, and you learn a really important lesson on that
course.
First show.
Yeah.
Because everyone from the city. Yeah. Everyone from the city is an asshole and everyone from the country is weird.
Right.
And then you
exactly.
blend those two together and they balance
and it's
out.
It's magic. It's
so
magical.
Yeah.
And you realize that we're all alike.
It's a human story.
And we need to slow down in the city.
And then we need to speed up in the country.
We all need to be medium. Just meet in the medium.
Please.
Yeah. Please be mayonnaise.
My co-host would be Melissa Joan Hart. You know what I mean?
But she was playing a real bitch this time.
Oh,
so you won't believe it.
She won't have anything of it. She's the mayor's daughter.
She's no Sabrina.
This is how things work now.
The mayor's daughter. I would watch that show, though, in a heart. Anything that's like local civics, I'm in like Flynn.
I hope it would be called local civics.
Local civics. You guys, I think we have our spring writing project.
Oh, my God. There's a new let's visit that Netflix office.
It's so
just dumb.
Let's get in there. They give everybody else money.
Everybody gets a show on Netflix. Why not
this? Money and a show.
Are you listening, Netflix? Done.
Local civics.
Local civics. I love it. I want to hear some stories from both or either of you.
All right.
Who wants to talk? Who wants to?
Dave, you have the storytelling show.
Oh, I do.
Oh, yeah.
So you kick it off.
I do. By the way, if anyone wants to do it tonight, people are dropping left and right because of hateful posts.
I know.
Posts.
I wish I could do it.
It's a long story.
I know.
Let's see. What can I? Okay. This isn't a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a general thing. I don't know what I like anymore.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't. I used to. Like, music drove me forward. Like, I would go from one, like, music crush to the next.
Sure.
And, like, I would listen to a song 100 times in a row until, like, it was, like, inside of me. And it's, like, and I haven't done that in years. And it's
right.
very strange. And now, like, when I hear, like, on the way over here, I heard a song that I liked. And my feeling was not, like, pleasure, but relief. You know what I mean? I was like,
you're like, okay, good. Okay,
yeah,
good.
There's
I can get there
a beating
again.
Heart inside of me somewhere.
Yeah, like, do you feel, because you have such a deep knowledge and love of music over the years, do you feel like...
Sort of, but also kind of not.
Really?
Like, I'm all day, I'm in this this chat room with the other people at Esquire.com, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and we're you know, and they're mostly, you know, early 30s, late 20s, mm-hmm. early 30s. And they will make, like, they'll make references that I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Right.
Like,
right.
you know what I mean? Like, Chance the Rapper is a new artist to me.
Sure.
But he's
sure.
been around forever and a day.
Sure.
And it's like, it's ridiculous that he won Best New Artist because he's on his, like, 11th album or something
right.
crazy.
Well, that's also
but,
like, the Grammys when they're like, the best song goes to, I mean, I was like,
yeah.
drag queens have been doing Hello by Adele parodies for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand
yeah.
how that, you know, and I love that song.
Yeah.
I love Adele, but
yeah.
what?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very strange.
So, yeah.
But yeah, so like,
yeah.
I can't, or they'll reference bands that I'm aware of, but they'll have like the deep knowledge that I would have of the Smiths or whatever.
Okay, okay.
And it just doesn't apply to me anymore. So it really makes me feel like unmoored.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
do you
like,
remember what the song
earth.
Was that you loved?
On the way over, it uh-huh. was from The Anniversary, and I don't
okay.
know what it was called, but it was
okay.
on XMU, which I listened to XMU just to hear something new or new-ish. That I might
See,
like.
See, that's great.
And, but it was on their old school show, so it itself could be 15 years old. I don't even know. I don't know.
I do that with KXLU. If I'm driving in the car every once in a while, I'll put on KXLU.
Yeah.
And then there'll be three songs, and I will love them purely because I don't hate them.
Mm-hmm. Right,
like,
right,
and then
right,
I'll be
right,
like,
yeah.
I'm back. I'm back, and I'm young again. Yeah.
That's exactly how
well,
it feels.
I just think it's really good to just, like, want to know. Because, like,
yeah.
there's no way we can always know. And... You know, because of the internet, like, everybody listens to different things now,
sure.
where it's like, where we all grew up, we all listened to the same music.
Yeah.
You know, you listened
to
different, the FM radio, and there were different
yeah.
genres, and maybe you liked, you know, hip hop, and maybe you liked country, or maybe you liked, you know, heavy metal or whatever,
yeah.
but now everybody listens to different things.
Right.
So it's impossible, but I think it's really important to just say, I need to know more, I want to mm-hmm. listen to more things, and that's the thing that keeps you... young and fresh
yeah.
versus like
curiosity
saying the you know the kids' music's terrible now.
No, yeah, no, I don't feel that way, but it does frighten me a little bit.
But I remember the first time I heard Uptown Funk and mm-hmm. I was like, I'm back. Like I was like, I like this Bruno Mars because it's like great. And I every time I hear it, that and 24 Karat Gold, I'm like 24 Karat Magic in the Air.
24 Karat Magic in the Air.
What is that song called?
It's called 24 Karat Magic.
Okay, great.
Who sings it?
Bruno Mars.
Oh.
And I love it. And I...
That one...
You don't care for it as much?
No. I also didn't like Uptown Funk that much.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I loved Uptown Funk.
Really?
I did. And
I heard it at a wedding, which is the perfect place.
Oh, of course.
Perfect place.
Uptown Funk and...
Get Lucky?
No, it was another Bruno Mars. Or maybe that is Bruno Mars, but it was a different
Get
Bruno
Lucky
Mars.
Get Lucky is Daft Punk? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm 100% on board with Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Then I watched his Super Bowl performance... not the one with him and Coldplay and whoever else, but the one he did by himself like a mm-hmm. couple years before that.
Uh-huh.
And it was so crazy amazing that I was like, oh, I'm on this guy's side.
Yeah.
I think I liked him because he's so mainstream and I really enjoy it because I realize that I can be such... I don't like the quality in myself to go, oh, everybody likes that. I hate it.
Yeah.
Like I've always kind of... hated that side of me that hates what everybody else likes. And when I like something that everybody likes, I'm like, I feel weirdly comforted by that, if mm-hmm. that makes any sense. And
no,
I'm like, I really like this and everybody else does too. And
I don't have to fight anymore.
Right. Because
yes.
every year there's that movie that everyone loves and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry I didn't like it. The other night at my show backstage, I had to, I mean, everybody was going on and on about how amazing Almost Famous was. And I was like, I'm sorry it's not. I hate it. I hated it. I hated it. I have to say it. And everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
You hated Almost Famous? And
yes.
I was like, I did. I really did. And I'm sorry. I'm not right and you're not wrong. I mean,
yeah.
I'm like, you know what I mean? It's just opinions. And so I hate when there's something that everybody's going crazy about and I have to sit there and go, ugh.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
But I
That's
really
so fun.
Don't know any, but I also understand what you're saying because, I think, because, you know, I'm so opinionated about movies and there's so many now that I can go into and go, well, you know, I see why that was this or that. And so
yeah.
my opinions are a little bit less sharp,
mm-hmm.
love or hate.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying about like not really
yeah.
knowing what you love anymore.
Yeah. And I'm kind of the same way with movies. Like I haven't been like super blown away by anything in a long time.
Yeah.
And I feel like I find myself wanting to go back, wanting to like watch things from the 70s mm-hmm. and early 80s and stuff and like
right.
study them
mm-hmm.
and not just like sit and watch and enjoy and be transported like I used to.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's weird. I don't know.
Don't you think also with the music thing, not having a preference can also be about just the full-on glut of music? Like,
oh, sure.
There's 500 more bands than there
yeah.
were
yeah.
when we were growing up. So it was like, you either, when I was a teenager, you either liked, like, Journey. Not Journey, that's a little old, but like, you know what I mean? It was just basically like the Smiths or Journey. You
right,
had to pick
right, right.
one team.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now there's
right.
1,000 categories in between.
Right.
And it's, each
and
one
everybody,
is a trend.
I mean, I was like, everybody at my school knew Guns N' Roses, the B-52s, Sinead O'Connor. Like, everybody knew who those people were, whether you liked them or not. And I think, too, like, you tie so many experiences to those songs of
oh,
your
right.
life.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, and so, and now when, you know, it's just, we're like, you know, on our way to do something and we hear a song and you're like, oh, okay, cool.
You're
but
right.
you're not really having an experience
yeah.
either.
And at the same time as there is this huge glut of music, mm-hmm. there's also no scarcity at all anymore. Like, my favorite thing to do used to be like go through records at a record store
right.
and find things that were hard to find, because that was like the only way to hear them would be mm-hmm. to pull them out of the rack and pay for them with money and then take them to the machine that plays them.
Right.
And then you could hear them.
Right.
And so like, so I, you know, there were things that I loved that I would never hear. You know, mm-hmm. unless I was next to my own stereo or whatever, it was on a tape that I could put in or something. And now it's like, now I hear The Killing Moon every other week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's not just like it used to be a thing that you would hear a couple times a year and you'd be like, ah, and you would have a connection with somebody else who knew it.
Right, right,
but now
right,
now it's
right.
just like,
what is The Killing Moon?
Echo and the Bunnymen song.
Oh, okay, okay.
but it's like, you know, I have the, you know, the alternative 80s station on, and it's like uh-huh. they play the same 150 songs. And
mm-hmm. and I mean, anytime it's like 80s flashback lunch or whatever, and I'm driving in the car, I'm like, am I a ghost? If, mm-hmm. will I just keep on living this exact life where Friday I'm in Love is playing in the background
yeah.
to everything that happens
yes.
to me?
Yes.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's the weirdest feeling.
And well,
it
and
is.
They can be very limited to what they, you know, play for that stuff too. I
yeah.
get to where I'm like, I love B-side disco. And there's so, it's so hard to find disco that's not the Time Life.
I thought
you
that,
know.
That was like a party.
Right, right.
That exists somewhere called
what?
B-side disco.
Oh, no, I wish. I wish.
Start it, Drew.
I'm going to start a party called B-side disco.
You, yes.
Tonight.
But on the way over here, I was listening to Let's All Chant, Michael Ziegler. Do you guys know that song?
No.
It's in Eyes of Laura Mars, which now after the Faye Dunaway mess up of
oh my God.
Sunday night, I really hope that Eyes of Laura Mars is now released on DVD. Finally, because you can't find it. It's so hard. And every year, I have a group of friends that go to Palm Springs and we share movies with each other. And I want to bring Eyes of Laura Mars, and it's so hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
But Faye Dunaway plays this crazy, believe it or not, she plays crazy, fashion photographer in New York.
Uh-huh.
And she's doing these wild shoots with these like these women that are like mostly bare chest. Did you hear me say bare chested? I literally lost
yeah.
my voice.
Throw up.
Bare chested women. bare chested women, and they're like, there's like fire behind them, and they're like in the middle of like, you know, Central Park, and Faye's like lit Central Park on fire, taking pictures of these models in front of like car crashes and stuff. And there's this song that it's Let's All Chant, and it's the best.
Let's All Chant.
Let's All Chant. And it's the best disco song from 1977. And it just sounds like musical cocaine. It's the best yeah. thing ever. And you're like, ugh. That's what I was listening to on the way over here. And I, you know, I just pretend like I live in the 70s. I put on like Pandora stations for like Ohio Players and mm-hmm. Sylvester. And that's just kind of what
I... That's a good way to live.
That's yeah, just I like how that. I want to live.
Yeah.
All the time.
For a little while, things were a little bleak for me. And every morning I would put on P-Funk by Parliament.
Oh, I get
and
it.
And I swear to God, if you are going through anything or you're just mm-hmm. feeling low, that song is so goddamn funny and amazing sounding.
It really is.
It's just, it puts you in a good mood. Like, you can't fight
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. Right. There's some really great Funkadelic. There's some really great stuff that they, every now and then it'll slide in on the Pandora channel and you're like, what is this?
Yeah. I gotta do that.
And
that's a really good
yeah,
idea.
There's some really great stuff. Yeah. There's also a band named Lime that was a very okay. obscure 70s disco and I think they were super gay, and I don't really, cause I think a lot of people talk about, and their music's incredible too, and I don't know why they didn't really take off, but
yeah.
it's
like Lemon
yeah.
Lime.
Mm-hmm. Like Lemon Lime.
Lime.
Just called Lime.
It's because the name is terrible.
It's terrible.
It's not a good name.
It's not a good name. Lime. But God, it's good. The music's so
we're
good.
Please come
Lime.
See my band Lime.
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 It just sounds
up
like
next,
mild.
Lime.
Ups and
ooh, yummy. Mild.
Exactly. Ooh. I can't wait to hear these people. Don't get too much.
Do you have scurvy? You might want some lime.
There is a Jell-O mold that my mother makes every Thanksgiving and Christmas. And it's lime. It's lime Jell-O.
It's lime.
And her thing for, like, if someone's having it for the first time, which no one is ever having it for the first time because it's always there.
Right.
But somebody will go like, she'll go like, oh, isn't it good? Isn't it mild?
Ew. Like, that's like such a good quality. Mild.
Isn't it mild?
I don't want anything mild. Yeah. I just like, why am I eating this?
Wait, well, no. You don't want it to overpower the turkey.
I guess, Irish Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Does your mom serve that as like during the salad portion of the meal?
That's salad, right?
There is no separate salad portion of the meal.
Mm. Oh, it all goes on one plate.
It's all in one big.
So you have a nice mild gelatin.
What's in the lime? What's in the lime?
Lime Jell-O. I feel like sour cream.
Uh-huh.
Canned bits of pineapple.
Uh-huh.
I want to say walnuts.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's also the one with just a traditional fruit cocktail. But then my grandmother on my dad's side did some nasty shit. She would do lemon Jell-O and put a can of vegetables in lemon Jell-O. So it would be like lima beans, carrots, onions, green beans.
Drew, that's wild.
That's wild. That's not mild.
It's not mild.
Yeah.
And then
it's
she would do a dollop of sour cream on top of it. Like, and it was the most disgusting thing ever.
Now, was that a salad entree?
That was a salad, and it would always be served on a bed of iceberg lettuce.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Disgusting.
Now, let's see if my grandma's beats your grandma's.
All right.
Because my grandma Anne, on my dad's side, used to serve on a bed of iceberg lettuce, lime Jell-O with cocktail floating in it.
Uh-huh.
With Thousand Island dressing on top of it.
Oh, my God.
God.
Oh, my God. That's so revolting.
So you were supposed to cut all of that salad up, and that was like your dinner salad, but it had fucking lime Jell-O with fruit in it mixed in.
Oh, God.
So it's so much sugar, and because it's like...
It just... Those tastes do not...
They don't go well together.
A creamy mayonnaise-based dressing doesn't go with lime Jell-O.
That's so disgusting.
In any way.
And
the flavors, the textures.
Sorry, hard-boiled eggs cut up around the outside. It was just...
No.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Legendary in my family. Horrible. We actually served it a couple Christmases ago. My Aunt Mary served it like as a joke of like, remember everybody when we used to have to eat this out of like guilt and whatever.
So much. I will say, like, you know, say what you will about the environment or the, you know, children's manners or whatever. Food has gotten better over time.
Oh, no question.
We used to suffer so much. And then hearing what our parents had to suffer through and eat.
Yeah.
And now, like, you can get like really good food pretty much, you know, anywhere in the country. You know,
Well, I think it's, you know, we were hunter gatherers or whatever for a while. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, and then food was just really hard to make because nothing was canned or frozen or anything.
Right.
So like, I know my mom's parents,
mm-hmm.
like food was a big deal and you would toil in the kitchen for a long period of time. But then in the 50s, everything got easy.
Right.
You know, everything was canned or frozen or like you could do
TV dinners.
Recipe books would be like, open a can of this and add a can of this and stir it together. And that's a recipe. That's a meal. Mm-hmm. You've put two canned things together and it's super easy or something to take out.
Go back to your drinking or smoking.
Right.
You're fine.
Yeah, and then we swung way the other direction in like, I think trying to, you know, put in an effort and make something nice.
Yeah.
I bet that's, and in fact, I know that that's intimidating for my mother. Because she stopped doing Christmas dinners. Mm. Like she would do like the thing and then the Jell-O thing and then chicken tetrazzini, which is like a big pasta casserole.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think she caught an eye roll from somebody, like a niece or a nephew a sister-in-law or daughter-in-law or something. And she was like, well, then we're just getting sandwiches. So for the last like 15 years, we go to a deli and we get a tray of sandwiches. And it's like, so now preparation is literally just pulling the Jell-O thing out of the fridge, getting out ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, putting them in separate dishes.
Yep.
And then like taking off the foil and revealing the sandwiches. And that's
that's dinner.
But it still stresses her out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must be nice, though, because that's, I would say, she just cut out about 4 hours of prep time.
Yeah,
for sure.
So that's kind of cool.
And I don't cook. I think I would enjoy cooking because I really do. I'm not in the routine of doing it. But I can't imagine having to cook every night and like having to do that or just like that sort of that pressure of doing that. I mean, my mom loves it and it's something that she really looks forward to doing. But I'm never upset when she's like, can we just order out. Like, she kind of has to, she, and I'm like, please,
yeah,
sit down with us and, like, you know, and let's order, let's do whatever.
But it's funny because my mom was like that all through us growing up. She despised cooking and let us know it. It was always this huge pain. She also worked in a mental hospital all day long. So then she would come home and just be like, girls, could you not have cleaned up the front room or whatever? And we would just never be doing anything. So spoiled. And then she would have to make us dinner. So it turned into basically, it was some kind of chicken combined with soups, like Campbell's cream of something soup, mixed with wine. And that would just all go into the oven at once. She called it a door slammer with minute rice and some kind of like frozen vegetable defrosted. And that was, we had that like three nights a week.
Sure. We pretty much did this. Tuna noodle was a big sensation in our household.
With potato chips on top.
Sometimes there was a fish recipe with crumbled up ruffles on top. I think that was an orange ruffy.
You go.
That's fancy. Yeah. The Holmeses were fancy.
Yeah, they were. We get it.
Yeah, noses up in the air.
Those lace orange ruffy ruffle wrap.
Oh, she thinks she's something with that orange ruffy every night.
She really does.
She's impressed with herself. It all comes back to my mom somehow. That's what she would say about people who like who seem to be, you know, putting on airs.
That was a huge thing.
Impressed with herself.
You are not allowed to be proud of anything you've done.
Ever.
No.
Each other.
No.
You know, anytime. And it was a thing that I had to realize. It was like, oh, no, I mean, my parents are proud of me, but like, would only tell me in private. Like in public, they would just be like, anytime I would get a compliment or my brother would get a compliment, they would immediately have to knock it down because they'd be like, we're not too proud.
Yes.
You know? You guys, great job on that. We're not doing too well. Just, you know, we're still struggling with things. It's like, what
He's
is
still
that?
Getting seasoned math.
Yeah, I know. And you're like, why? Why does that need to be? Why is that? You know, I don't understand. And I find myself sometimes not being able to take a compliment in that way when somebody you know, be like, nice shirt. I'm like, it was so cheap. I got it from a thrift store.
Yeah, exactly
and
the
like,
same
why
way.
Why do I not just go, thanks?
Yeah. My mother, there was like a running bit in our family because my mother was so good at like just taking apart any compliment, even if it was like, it's the funniest thing where it's like, it would be her birthday and it would just be like, well, it's, you know, happy birthday. I'm so glad you're, and she'd be like, oh, this is crazy. It was just like nothing.
Yeah.
Anything positive aimed towards you had to be batted away.
Right. Sure.
And then denied afterwards when you say, why did you? And they're like, I didn't, you know, there's just no acknowledgement.
Oh, stop it. You're
exactly,
crazy. Yeah.
Exactly. Being dramatic again.
Yeah.
You know, or thinking you're all that. And it's just, and if you get in your head and you're like, I guess I just think I'm the shit all the time.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, deal with all that stuff.
If you want to see me have a panic attack, pay me a compliment of any kind.
I will immediately tell you what's going terribly in my life.
Yeah.
If you say something's nice, I'll be like, well, you know. It's not all great, you know, and I'm just like, you know, ugh.
I have my reaction is like, you compliment me, and then my reaction is usually like, this problem isn't over. Like, it's like, I don't, this isn't a solution. Like, it's that, like, we're suddenly mid fight, and I'm not accepting your apology. Like,
I also like, really, like, I can just give people too much when all they want to say is, that was good or good job. I get them in too close and I immediately go, you know, the other night, I mean, I'm doing this play right now and we had like a really quiet audience. They were lovely, but they're very polite. So I was just sort of unpacking that, like afterwards with another cast member in the lobby. And I was kind of going, they were fine, but they made us really work hard. And it just wasn't as fun as last night when they were just like on board for the craziness of the whole thing. And there was someone that I, you know, like had seen the show that came in and was like, hey, great job. And I kind of let her in too much. And I was like, well, you know, they weren't all that. And then I was like, next thing I knew, like, I was sort of like robbing her experience in a way. You know what I mean? I was like, I should just say thank you. I was like, shut up. Because it was fine. It wasn't even like I was really going through anything. But I needed to like, part of me needed to let her know, like, it was better last night, which is so shitty to somebody. Like, they don't want to hear, like, oh, it was better when you weren't here.
Well, and also we always forget that your experience of it was probably the hardest experience to have of that, which is the person performing the play. So the person that's actually a real audience member that you have no experience being comes in and is like, yes, that was rad. And you immediately are like, you're wrong.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I know. And I have to,
we do it all the time.
Really try to get better about that because it's just like, it's just not fair. And they're not going to give me anything that I need in that moment.
Hell
it's
no.
not like they're going to, they just said, great job. What else do you want from them? They're not going to give, and like, I, you know, it's that thing where you're like, I need to just sort of like, yeah. And in that situation, I'm like, the cast member and I who were on stage together going through it, that's when I was kind of processing it with her. But I was like, I needed to kind of shut that door and then sort of put another, you know, thing on when somebody else, because yeah, you're right. When you're up there doing it, there are times that it's like, it feels so hard. And then somebody can come up to you in tears and go, I needed that so much. That was so amazing. And thank you. And you're like, oh my God, that felt like murder for
yes.
me. Like I was so like, you know, so yeah, but it's, and then vice versa. There are other nights that I feel like I've like killed it. And I like a friend of mine will kind of give me the vibe that I'm like, oh, I don't think they, you know, and it says no, it's like no bearing on whatsoever.
Have I ever told you guys the story when I recorded my live album, when it was over and I was standing backstage, I was talking to, I think it was, I can't remember. I was talking to two friends who were basically back there, like brushing my hair and being like, that was so amazing. And I was like, therapist, you know, prescribed, uh-huh. like allowing it in and mm-hmm. being in the moment or whatever. And so it's just kind of like, oh my God, I'm so glad it's over. And that was great. And like actually entertaining the thing that I'm not supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
And then a girl walked in with a bouquet of Mylar balloons. And I turned to the door and I was like, oh my God. And she goes, these are mine. And then walked away. And it was the most, like, it was just this moment where I was like, I've lost my mind.
Yep,
like,
yep,
I'm now this person. And balloons almost made me cry. It was as if like this, oh my God, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Where it's like, I'm the next
grocery
band.
Grocery store balloons.
Yes.
And you're like, oh my God, you did that for me. And they're like, no, these are mine.
These are
like,
mine.
These are mine.
They're my balloons.
Oh my God.
It's so humiliating. And I've like, since that time, I've just never, I can't, I have balloons
waiting
around the corner.
Some grown adult being so possessive in that way too. It's just really funny to me that, you know, and then you think it's all about you in that moment. And you're just like, oh my God,
it's so not about you.
I know.
Your show's over, the next show's starting, and it has balloons. So go
fuck exactly
yourself.
So, yeah, and we'll move on. Pavement is being washed off.
Yeah.
Get with it.
Bye.
I know. Anyway, but Karen, talk to me. What's your...
Oh.
You want to tell a
Well,
story?
After the balloon incident,
yes.
I realized I needed to refocus. Everything's before or after the Mylar balloon.
Oh, my God.
Because I realized then I would really love a bouquet of Mylar balloons
uh-huh.
at some point in my life as a surprise. And I never knew that before.
Yeah.
So I have to incorporate that in who I am.
I think that's really important.
I think it's
really good to know. And I think whoever's listening to this needs to know that. And, you know, when the next time you get up, maybe tonight if you do Dave's storytelling show,
oh,
maybe
right.
someone needs to bring you some Mylar balloons.
I don't be afraid to fill the room with Mylar balloons.
They can spell things out.
There was a lady, that reminds me, there was a lady who used to work at the Groundlings who was scared of balloons.
No.
And I hated her for it. Like, I was like, that's not a valid fear. I refuse to like entertain that. I'm sorry, but like, she was like, oh, I'm scared of balloons. Like, there'd be like big openings and then have balloons in the lobby, and she wouldn't go in the lobby. She was terrified of them. I mean, I get like the popping noises or like that can like be traumatizing.
But, yeah, they don't just pop on their own.
They don't just pop
Sometimes
on their own.
Sometimes they do.
No, but it's rare.
I mean, I guess.
Ghost
but
needles.
It's also like ghost needles. But it was like, I judged her from that moment on. And then a year later or so, they found out that she had been embezzling like $50,000.
No!
And I was like, I told you, she's not to be trusted. She was scared of balloons. That is not a fully formed human being.
No.
That's not, that's just not an opinion. You're not allowed to have that phobia.
It's so good though.
No.
Frequently when people tell me they're allergic to things, I think they're lying. I think they just don't like them.
Yeah.
Like we all have a friend who is allergic to dogs, and I'm just like, you just don't like dogs.
You don't like dogs. Yeah.
It might be manifesting itself physically, but you just don't like dogs. And you're lying to yourself and the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
Fine.
Know.
Just don't go to the party if you don't want to go to the party.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Blame a dog.
Well, there's also that. There's so many people that you want to be like, don't make me take care of, you know. Don't make me take peanuts out of the lime salad.
Yeah.
Just because you're
allergic.
This
is my grandmother's recipe.
Isn't it mild?
I
can't guarantee that it will be mild without a peanut.
Sorry, but your story reminded me of embezzling. I worked in college, in my short stint in college that was terrible. I worked it at the student store, but it wasn't a store. It was just where people went to cash checks. It was like
what?
Right at the advent of ATM machines.
Oh my God.
So the way you got cash, if your bank wasn't the one ATM on campus, you could go cash a check for 20 bucks at this
place. Write a check for cash.
Yes.
Right.
Write it for cash.
Write
you could also buy stamps. You could pay your, like a parking something or other. There's like 17 things this office did.
Okay. Okay.
I worked there. This was in my phase where I was like kind of wanted to be mod. So I wore like men's old pajamas from the thrift store with a safety pin and weird black flats and turtlenecks all the time and dyed black hair.
I love it. I love it.
It was the fall or whatever the season was where Nothing Compares to You hit huge and was on the radio all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so all that working there reminds me of is Nothing Compares to You playing and me running in like 29 minutes late every morning. I always was like, how come I'm not getting fired? And there was a woman who would come when you would be done with your shift, Wendy. She would come through and she would count the drawer and then she'd just be like, this drawer's $1.70 off, Karen. And I'd be like, well, I can't explain it. Like, I'm just sitting here.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of people behind me. Like, I'm not taking $1.70.
Right.
And that would happen. She like suggested it enough. So I started getting like, am I bad? Like, do these people think I'm a bad person or am I doing something wrong?
Bad at math. Am I or something?
What's happening? Of course, turns out Wendy was arrested for embezzling like
$1.70 at a time.
30 grand.
Oh,
out
my
of,
God.
Like the school fund of some kind. And I was like, she fucking tried to make me feel like I was doing it.
Right.
That's a fucking...
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. That was a good one.
That's like a certain type of like sociopath that's going to take that tiny amount every day that has that patience to do that. And then to turn it on you and try to blame it on you.
To
and just
build
sort of
the
like,
story of like the girl with the weird black hair.
I talked to this girl and I asked her about it. And
Karen's drawer is short again.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what are you really getting, like, every day, like, that tiny amount?
$30,000, eventually.
You eventually get $30,000.
I think that was the amount.
That's a fortune.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. Well, that's, I think, I don't know any of the details, obviously, of what was happening at the Groundlings, but I know that was, like, it was little things at a time, you know, and there's something about it, too, like, you know, I guess I have this like Robin Hood approach about it. Like if you're just going to steal from like some major corporation, not cool, but fuck them at the same time, like stick it to them. But you're stealing from like a theater or from a school, from a university or from a nonprofit theater. You're a horrible human being because these places don't have a lot of money anyway. And they're ultimately very good and they do really good things for a lot of people. And like you're going to take from those, like of all... Like, if you're going to steal, like, you know, please.
Go to Children's Arts. That's the place to steal the best.
Children's Arts, because they have so much money.
Or I will say this, in talking about the story about Wendy, I will also admit that I was a stealer for a short amount of time after flunking out of college. Have we talked about this before?
No, I don't think so.
It's like the most shameful part of my life, but I had this job at a cafe inside a natural food store. So, but our cafe was not associated. So there'd always be these people who came over and be like, oh, is this blah, blah, blah free? And we'd be like, no, we just rent the space here. So we're like the weird kind of, we don't belong anyway. And I would go and it would be like, you know, 6-hour shifts and I was being paid minimum wage or whatever. So I got it into my head one night because I was crazily broke that I was going to take $20 because I deserved it and I wanted to buy beer and why couldn't I and who cares and no one's going to know. So I did it one night and of course, had the burning Catholic, couldn't get it off
me. Oh my God, wow.
But of course, drank it away and didn't really. And so the next week, I was like, I'm going to do it again. And so I did it a second time. And then the next day, my manager, Jeff, who I'm positive knew it was me, but he goes, oh wow, this is crazy. The drawer we're short $20 in this drawer. I'm pretty sure the janitor or his son are stealing. And it was this man and like his 12-year-old son who would come to clean the whole place every night, who had nothing, never went anywhere near our thing. And I was so mortified and so horrified that, of course, I never touched it again. But
of course.
It was like,
right.
You know what that guy did to you?
He gaslit me.
He did a reverse Wendy.
Yeah, he sure did. Right. That was a reverse Wendy, for
that's
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was like, I know Karen did this. This
is my way. Reverse Wendy, but that's what
he did. This is my way. Yeah. Because also he knew that you were just like a good person and weren't going to let these people go down for that. Like,
right.
How
yes.
awful to be like, oh my God, to know like you got someone fired.
Yeah.
Like worse somebody than getting can't. Fired yourself.
Yeah.
Like knowing
getting someone accused.
Getting someone accused, all of it. Like the humiliation of just being like, oh my God, it was me. And like now I have to sit there, you know, oh my
horrible.
God. Horrible.
It was bad.
Mine was, it was all centered around HMV at 86th and Lex.
The record store. I remember that place. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I figured out, this is like before they would put huge, like, you know, stealing proof cases on all the CDs. But I found out that if I just like slid my fingernail down like the seam, down where like the little ridgy black part meets the clear plastic part, I could like just unwrap the whole thing. And I like in the winter months, I would wear a huge long coat. And I could just like, I could grab that SWV album that I don't want to pay $18 for because I don't
have
the songs on it, but
you
want it. I want to hear it.
Yeah.
Right.
Soul for Real, right in the pocket. and so, yeah, I did that for about 6 months. And then I was at Brooks Brothers and I saw somebody get busted for shoplifting.
Ooh.
And literally store police came out of a wall, like from behind, like a door you didn't even know was there opened. And they came out and like grabbed these people. And it was just so utterly humiliating that I was like, no,
right.
I can't.
Like,
it was my
never,
vanity that stopped me.
I'd never do it again. I remember when I was in, probably it was like high school. It would have been, because it was Jurassic Park, so that would have been high school for me. And so I was in Spencer's Gifts. Remember the Spencer's Gifts, of course. The whoopee cushions and the just like weird, you know.
Lava lamps.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Just
shirts.
A joke
that
store.
To farts.
Yeah.
That, you know, was pre Hot Topic. And then I came to like hate Spencer's. I was like, everything in this place just sucks. This
black
is like
posters.
It's my problem with Cards Against Humanity. I was like, this is a shitty thing for like people with no imagination, and I hate this place.
Yeah.
I hate Cards Against Humanity. Anyway, that place, I'm like, oh, you're just, you know, boring garbage people. I went into Spencer's Gifts and I got accused of stealing some Jurassic Park candy eggs, like a box of candy, like jawbreakers that were like Jurassic Park eggs. And there was this woman that I remember came up to me and she was just like, so you gonna buy anything or something, like, or can I help you with anything? And I was like, I think I'm good. She was like, well, because I saw you with those eggs. I saw you with the Jurassic candies. And you're like, oh, okay. She's like, I saw you like touch them. And so is there anything you want to like maybe put back or? And I was like, no. And I remember getting so upset. And
how
I was
old
like,
were you?
I was like in high school. I wasn't a child. I mean, I was like a teenager. I was probably 16, you know, and I was just at the age where I was like, it took me a while to realize, like, I was like, she thinks I stole a box of candy. From what, and then I remember just being like, what do you care? Like in that moment, I wish I had. Like, I wish I was cool enough to do that. And then when I was in college, a freshman year in college, when I dated a girl for a brief period of time, she used to steal makeup from like Walmart or whatever. And I thought she was so cool for doing that. I mean, that was like, you steal, like she would go in and it was just for the, you know, the kicks of it all. Like just to go in and steal something. Like,
was she the kind of girl that had black eyeliner all the way around her eye?
No, but she, but definitely had, she definitely had like a, you know, a streak in her of just like
feather earrings.
She was way more like she was like super smart. We bonded over John Waters. Like she loved like crime.
Sure.
She loved being bad.
Lunchbox,
you know what I mean?
As purse.
Yeah, maybe. That sounds, that feels
Will
very
you say
right.
She loved crime again.
She loved crime. Who doesn't love crime?
I love crime.
Oh, I
hung
love
out
it.
With a girl like that briefly in high school. I was in like a summer creative writing program and she was in it. And we hung out one day, like one summer day, and we went to Deerberg's, and she was like, I'm gonna steal some no-dos, let's take it. And so she like she did it, and she like put it in her purse, and we took a bunch of no-dos and drove around, and I had a panic attack. And I asked her to let me out of the car so I could walk the rest of the way home. It was like a mile home.
No, I
she's like, call me.
I had moments where I was terrible. I was really verbally, emotionally abusive to people and like growing up, but I never did any, like, and I got, I think 'cause I got caught doing major things and, but I was such a good student and I was such a goody-goody. And I kind of like, I felt this like, I drank the Kool-Aid. Like I was like, I need to follow the rules. I need to get out of here and that whole thing. And my brother was always the one who was like, let's just, you know, my brother was always doing the like, the wrong thing, the bad thing.
Older, he
was, like,
younger.
Younger.
Yeah.
But wiser in a way of just like, hey, this doesn't matter. Like, who cares? These people don't know. Our authorities don't know. And I was like, they know everything. Yeah. They're older than we are. They're our superiors. And so I love, I don't know. I always admired people doing the worst things. Like, that was my favorite thing.
I think that's also a sibling order thing because my sister is the exact same way where we spent a lot of, like, we went to college at the same time. You know, we used to party together a lot. It'd be like my friends and her friends in the, you know, in our kitchen or whatever. And I used to drive her insane because I was totally the one that would be like, I'm going to smoke a clove. And she'd be like, you can't do that.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I would always, if I got drunk enough, my thing was at 2 when we would leave the bar, I loved running to the car with my shirt off. I just thought that was like the funniest possible thing to do. So at one point walking through the parking lot, I would just do this and my sister would be like, don't take your shirt off. And I would
just
start
running.
Well,
you heard me like lose my voice when I say topless women. It does something to me. I can't handle it.
I wanted to bring you back to that place and really explore it with you.
But, oh my God, I love that. And I don't know why I think you're the older child. You feel like because you grow up and you're like, you have to take care of the little one and you know what the rules are and you're a little bit, you know, and I was such a bossy older brother. Like I would, you know, like when my brother would get in trouble, I'd want to be part of the, like assigning his punishment. And my parents would be like, no, we're good.
Yeah.
You go away, Drew. And I'd be like, but he, I just, I mean, that was when I was, you know, way younger, but I mean, like my brother had to like put up with all that shit from me. What an annoying shit brother that I was to do that. But
that's
yeah.
the youngest position though. You have the benefit of somebody taking the hit before you and you get their wisdom, even if they don't want to give it to you, you get it anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you have that thing of like, you're the one that notices that nobody's actually really paying attention.
Right.
And that was always my thing as I became this obsessive boundary pusher only because I was like, no one gives a shit. Like, test it out. I'm telling you, you're scared of nothing. Like, watch this. And then she'd be like, you can't do that. It'd be like, see, now we're in the car. My shirt's back on. Nothing happened.
Right. Yeah. I love that. I love it.
My brothers are so much older that like I had like 4 parents. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Like, they're like 8 and 10 years older.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Like, so there was never any, like, we doing anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. We would never party together or anything like that. And it's still, like, now when I talk to them like people, they'll be like, what's the tone that you're taking with me?
You know what I mean? Who are
you? Yeah, it's very strange.
Right.
It's
really and then, oh, wow. And it's like, you're an adult now. My brother is so much more of an adult than I am now. I mean, he's like, has this incredible job. He has a job, unlike us. We don't have jobs.
Oh, that's sweet, sweet insurance.
Yeah, he's got insurance. He actually sells insurance, believe it or not.
Well, he can complain about anything he wants then.
That's
exactly.
Right.
He's an official American.
Yeah.
But I mean, he has like 2 kids and owns a house and he's such a man, like an adult. And there's so many times, and he knows so much. He's so smart and knows about things. There's so many times that I'll be like, I defer to him because I'm like, I don't know anything other than like wigs and, you know, horrible human behavior at Starbucks. I'm like, I'm very aware of what's happening there. And
but
I'm aware.
Those 2 things are so crucial in today's America. Just picture you in the back of Starbucks with a fucking awesome wig. Just being like, I see this.
I see this. That will be my next character. That horrible person. Oh, good to log that.
I have to say, even though you don't need this plug, and I'm sure you went to Golden Girls Live when it was at Casitas del Campo.
Yeah.
I went... I was trying to get fitted in between 2 other things. So I was like, I'll just buy a single ticket. And I literally got the last ticket at that last show.
Yeah.
So when I got there, they kept looking for my name and they realized it was truly like somebody turned their ticket back in and I got it the second she turned it in.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So the whole place was full and they walked a chair and sat me in the aisle.
Oh, I remember that.
Like
I remember that show. You were in the
weird
aisle.
Weird handicapped stranger, lonely lady. And I was just sitting there more to fucking fine. And then the show starts and the opening credits start and the entire place starts singing. And it was the thank you for being a friend.
Uh-huh.
It was the most beautiful moment. And then it proceeded to be the most hilarious night. It was like my favorite.
That show is so much fun, and we usually only do it twice a year because it murders our bodies to do it, because it's so intense, because we did 10 shows in a weekend.
Oh, shit.
Because we usually do two and then sometimes three in a day, and each show is two episodes. So we'll do two episodes, and then we immediately go back in and do two more episodes. So the costume changes. Learning those lines are no joke. Those lines are full on.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun though once we do it, because it's so nostalgic. It brings back so many things for people, and like getting to see and it's very weird because it's like everyone loves Golden Girls, but also like seeing these like four, you know, grown ass men playing these women, and with love. Like, we're not like snarky about it, and we're not like
no. The impressions are so artful. It's the impressions made by people who have put in their 10,000 hours, basically, where it's just like, you can't fucking tell me I don't love B. Arthur because watch this.
Jackie Beat is like channels B. Arthur.
Think that there was such a thing as a Betty White impression.
Yeah.
Until I saw you.
Yeah.
And immediately it was like, oh yeah, no, that's, he is completely
insanely dead on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's certain people you just think are impression proof because they're part of your life. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. On the show, she's the straight man, which I didn't realize until doing the show, that I was like, she is the joke and the other three make the jokes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she doesn't rarely get the laugh line, which I had to just like, you know, and I was like, I see why Betty White, who is so genius and so talented, was frustrated on the Golden Girls, because she has to say so many words.
Yeah.
And then there's the classic one where Betty White tells this really, really long story and Sophia just looks at her and says, I hate you. And like, that's what gets the laugh. And it's like so great, because it's like, I love that, because it's like the writers were like, we got nothing. I hate you. Like, I'm at a point where I'm just like, it's just mean. And it's so funny to me. But like, it can be frustrating. And then I was like, I started to watch Betty White now, and I just sort of was like, and I sort of just exaggerated her and made her like on acid.
But also that thing she does and did that you play up a lot, which is that moment after the thing. It's just these tiny, tiny movements of kind of looking at a person and rolling your eyes and your head. And it's this thing.
She has this like this. I don't know. I try to like tell myself that like after I say a line, it's usually like, I have no idea what I just said, or I'm adorable. And then the world welcomes me as their collective grandmother.
Yeah,
because Betty White has that thing where she says something and she's like, you're welcome, I'm here. But thank
you.
It's really, really fun to do. And hopefully we'll do it again this summer. We always try to do it in the summer and the winter.
I love a summer Golden Girl.
A summer Golden Girl. And it's so hot. We're in the basement in August, usually. And we're like screaming at each other.
And the exits are here, 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 and here.
Oh, that's right. Mr. Dan.
And he's going to pour all the leftovers into the one cup.
Uh-huh. And have a casita teeny.
And it's the
same speech you'll hear. Yep.
I love them.
For every show.
I love those shows. They're so like old-fashioned feeling to me.
It's unlike any place in L.A. I mean, if you ever get a chance to go to anything at Casita del Campo, it's worth it. The experience alone. Go have like greasy Mexican food and the strongest ethanol laced margaritas that will pickle you beyond all reason.
The last time I saw Dina Martina there, two times ago, I like in the middle of it, I was like, oh, I have to watch this with one hand over one eye.
Yes.
Like
yes.
An old timey cartoon drunk, because I am seeing two of what's like, I was with it enough to know that I was seeing double.
Right,
but
right.
Drunk enough to see double.
Right, and it does that to you. I have somebody apologize to me every show. I'll get an email or a text or something from me like, I'm so sorry, I don't know what was into me. I got so drunk at your show.
Yeah.
At Casita, because those margaritas are so insanely strong.
Oh, fuck.
And
I spilled my coffee.
Who's drunk now?
It looks like it didn't spill that
It didn't really spill it anything really at all.
There wasn't much to it. I'm going to pick it up off the floor, though.
Oh, all right.
Well, what I love is I really feel... It feels like... were in like elite Broadway culture, when I go there, even though there's only like 50 seats, I'll always know four people in the room.
Right.
So there's a real kind of like, hi, how are you? Like that kind of thing before the show starts that I love, that you don't really get anywhere else.
No, it's the only place where there people go just because it's, they will go to dinner there and then they'll go, let's just go see whatever is there.
Yeah.
You're on the mailing list and you kind of go, okay, because like, there are enough people like Dina Martina and Jackie Beat that do so many shows there constantly that you can go, okay, if I don't know what this thing is, I'm sure it'll be a fun night.
Right.
And so a lot of the same people go to all the shows, and it really does have a sense of community.
It feels like, well curated.
Yes.
You know?
And that is Mr. Dan. Mr. Dan does decide what goes on down there and what he gets to, you know, plug and promote.
And it's like, it's fun gay. It's not When We Rise gay.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Right,
it's
not
empowering gay.
And it's not,
fun gay.
It's fun gay, and it's also not West Hollywood gay. It's also not like, it's not the, because I love Drag Race, and I can't wait for season, you know, 38 or whatever is coming on in March. But it's, drag has become very polished.
Very.
And about like, your face has to become perfect. And I have anxiety in this play that I'm doing. I have to give up the need to have a perfectly made up face because I can't do great drag makeup. And, but now that's where the aesthetic is. And so, but something's lost, I think, in that. And drag now has become, so polished that it doesn't feel dangerous to me anymore.
No.
Whereas at Casita, it can be a little more dangerous. It's messy. It's old. It's an old school thing of like, here's an idea. Here's some it's like a way more unique.
It's character
down there. It's character,
it's not
which is way more
Britney Spears song.
Exactly.
Well, and because I think it's the comedy element of drag as opposed to presentational. For me, drag is my favorite version of comedy, of stand-up. Mm. Like, there's something about it, and I think it's because it's a man dressed like a woman, so he has to be ready for anything.
Uh-huh.
And it's the way I feel when I do stand-up, except for I don't necessarily have that much of a reason to. Like, I hate the audience, and I want to attack them. So I have all these things ready abuse them with just in case I need to.
Uh-huh.
But I rarely do, because they will hate me, and women aren't supposed to act like that.
Sure.
But when I watch a drag queen do it, it's just so fucking satisfying and hilarious.
Yeah.
And it has to be laser sharp. Like, we were at this drag bingo show in New York City, and I was sitting with like four girls I worked with, and one of my friends, who was like an impeccable dresser, every day she had a different hat, all jewelry, you know, pashmina fucking neck cowl dicky whatever.
Wow.
She had like every accessory under the sun. This drag queen comes off the stage, walks to our table, and goes, oh, hello Forever 21. And I was just like, you're
God,
the most brilliant person on the you did that from like 10 paces.
Right
it's genius.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Laser sharp.
Yeah,
focus.
Yeah. I love that. That's so good. You know, and when and just that ability to do that, and that, and it's also, it is a, there's a, it's like safe because it's coming from a place of love.
Yes.
As
and
opposed
fun.
To right.
Except, you know, Jackie Beats.
But my God, but truly the, like, would be so mad for me to tell you, like, the sweetest person in the world. Like, doesn't want anyone to know that she's the dearest, most lovely person. Like, you know, and I love the persona on stage. And it's like when someone is like notorious for playing like sweet characters, and you meet them off stage, you're like, oh, they're horrible.
Yeah.
Jackie's the opposite. She's like the kindest. I mean, put any dog in front of her, any baby, any old person, any person who is like, you know, might be dealing with anything, and Jackie is like number one support system for
Jackie,
you know.
Beat. I worked with Jackie Beat on my first writing job.
Was that on Hype?
Yes. We had the best time, but
what was it?
It was a sketch show
called
for
Hype.
The WB called Hype, where all the people that were hired could do impressions. So it was like supposed to be a really skewering Hollywood, and of course it didn't work out. But
I remember this.
Remember?
Danielle Gaither was on it, and
was
Nadia.
Ginsburg.
Jennifer Cox.
Yes.
Jennifer Cox was on it.
Yep. Yeah. Chris Williams, who's hilarious. Mm. But we would, I mean, it was a tough job, and for a lot of us, it was our first writing job. Jackie, one time I came to work, I had this weird zit on my neck, and I had, Neutrogena used to make these things that looked like Band-Aids, but they had zit medicine on them.
Yeah,
you could just leave them on a Band-Aid for like 2 days, and the Band-Aid was gone.
Yeah.
And So I just was like, I'm just leaving it there because it's, you know, the neck is just as bad. Uh-huh. And I mean, why not? And Jackie walks into my office and before, like, we didn't even make eye contact. And she goes, so am I supposed to just pretend that's not there? Like, immediately.
Uh-huh. 100%. Jackie reads me because I mean, her drag is impeccable. And so is Sherry Vine. And Sherry Vine plays Blanche. Mm-hmm. And then Sam is playing Sophia, so he just draws a couple, like, you know, lines on his face and says, I'm an old lady, and just, and some, you know. But then Rose, I just am like, Rose is like a little, she's a little country, and she's kind of like a little girl who's like playing in her mom's makeup chest. So my makeup is a much, much lower level. Jackie gets so mad at me when I walk out on stage. She's like, you're going to go out like that. You're going to walk out on stage looking like that. Or she'll just walk by and just be like, horrible. Like, just under breath, you look fucking awful. Like, look at you. Look at this, nothing. And I, you know, and it just becomes our, you know, love for each other. It's the just best. So, you know, she's the greatest.
My favorite, sorry, but my favorite riff joke of all time is we were trying to think, we were like in a room and it was me, Jackie, and Jay Johnston trying to write this sketch. And it's something to do with Jay Johnston. I mean, with John Travolta, and Jay pitched something about the movie Phenomenon because uh-huh. it had just come out, and Jackie immediately goes, "Oh, come on and on."
That's her.
It's the best.
It's the best.
Oh, it's genius.
Oh, well, check out Jackie Beat. Check out Casita del Campo.
Yeah.
This has been a commercial for Jackie Beat. Well, we're out of time and then some.
Geez.
We went way over.
Well, sorry.
We went way over. No,
how
it's
many?
Wonderful.
How many over?
I don't know, because I have a little intro that I have to tack onto the beginning of this as well. Mm. It's going to be an extra jam-packed episode for all the
super
listeners.
Super-sized.
Yeah.
Cut out the Jackie Beat part.
Cutting all of that out. Oh, now the show's 12 minutes. Well, thank y'all both so much for
thank
doing
you.
This.
Yes, thank you.
It's been just a delightful afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Thank y'all so much. I want to thank my guests, Karen Kilgariff and Dave Holmes.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Drew Drogi's Minor Revelations. I forgot my own name. It happens. Thank you.